Hello, friends. This is the Generations Radio broadcast. Kevin Swanson, your host, coming to you from my basement out here in the Eastern Plains of Colorado. Son Daniel in studio with us today, working the controls as he has been for the last 7 or 8 years. And friends, we homeschool our children out here in the Eastern Plains of Colorado during a lost and lonely age in the development of the postmodern world. It's a postmodern wilderness out there. Man is lost without truth, but he's also lonely without relationships. We talk about worldview on this program a great deal, but not just worldview. Our beef with the postmodern world is not just the fact that they have cut loose from an absolute standard of truth and ethics in God's word, but it's also the fact that they're lonely, really, really lonely in a postmodern wilderness. And people do seek anonymity in the city life, in their church life, in their travel. Anonymity is sort of found in wandering around the big city with so many people and so few relationships. That's modern life, friends. It's anonymity. After killing his brother, do you remember Cain? He killed his brother. Then he became a vagabond in the earth and formed the first city. That's right. That's kind of history. That's where it all started. Cain killed relationship. Then he went for anonymity, and of course his line came up with polygamy as well. But cities don't have to be anonymous. But as it turns out, they usually are, because humanism rejects relationships in favor of institutionalized life. Hospitality is now almost all commercialized, institutionalized today. People don't have people over to their houses very much. They don't have a whole lot of Philadelphia, that is love of brothers and friends. And they don't have a lot of phileozenia, that is love of strangers. We're called to phileozenia in the Bible, love of strangers as well as love of brothers. We ought to have community, really, really good community, and have our friends over all the time. But we also ought to have strangers over. It's hard enough for people to have friends over and have them over for dinner and maybe even have them stay the night. It's much, much harder for the modern world to have strangers over and develop new friends by means of phileozenia. Therefore, hospitality is very much commercialized, institutionalized. We call them restaurants and hotels. But you remember, Paul and Peter would stay with their friends on missions trips. Elijah and Elisha in the Old Testament would stay at friends' houses. Even widows would open up their homes to Elijah and Elisha as they would travel around Israel in Old Testament times. They didn't use the restaurants and the hotels. They had friends, they had brothers and sisters. People reached out. People had what is now known as hospitality. I know that's a really strange notion for a lot of you out there, but it goes way, way, way back, way past the time of modern institutionalized anonymous living in the big cities. And friends, I'm telling you, the life of relationship, the life of opening up our homes in the form of hospitality is a good life. And friends, Christian men are often on business trips. They go off to a distant city like Judah did in the Old Testament. Remember Judah in the Old Testament? He went on a business trip, went to do some sheep shearing up at Timnath. It was a business trip. Do you remember Judah? He went on a business trip. What did he do on his business trip? Okay, he did some business with the Adullamite. Can't remember the guy's name, but he did some business with the Adullamite. But what else did he do on his business trip? Judah went on a business trip. The first business trip reported in the Bible, and Judah was on his business trip. What did he do on his business trip? Okay, trivia question for those of you out there. He found a prostitute. That's what they do on business trips. He found a prostitute. He ran into a prostitute as he was far, far, far away from home, and the rest is history. He tried to do it. The whole anonymous thing, and it turned out it backfired on him. It turned out it was his daughter-in-law. Rather tough story. By the way, the Bible does record true life stories that happen all the time and have for 6,000 years of world history. So, hey, the Bible will give us what happens when a man leaves his home. A man away from his house is like a bird away from its nest. That's what the Word of God says. A man away from relationships, a man who seeks anonymity, will be a bird away from his nest, and more often than not, will wind up in trouble. And unfortunately, that happens in many, many hotel rooms, on many, many business trips for men all over this country. Anonymity is what they find in the big cities, and oftentimes they get in trouble, as Judah did way back some 5,000 years ago when he went up to Timnath for the sheep shearing. Well, a friend of mine, Chuck, at church, he sent out an email. This would have been about 4 or 5 months ago. So anybody know anybody in Chicago? Going to Chicago on a business trip. So Chuck was representing his company in Chicago for a business trip. He's going to be there for 4, 5, 6 days or what have you. He found a place. He was looking for somebody to take him in so he could, you know, have fellowship and maybe actually enjoy a time with brothers and sisters in Christ and be edified, be sanctified, be built up in the faith instead of the business trip turning sour for him where there were no relationships. There was no real encouragement and edification going on. No friendships built. No opportunity to reach out to others, but just, you know, the hotel room, the anonymous hotel room. Chuck didn't want that. So Chuck found a pastor actually in Chicago, Illinois, that opened up his house for Chuck, and Chuck stayed there. So, friends, these things can happen. About 2 years ago, you know, I brought up this thing on one of the editions of the Generations broadcast, and I said, anybody out there want to, I don't know, start up something like a Candle in the Window Hospitality Network? So I called out for that, and I said, if somebody wants to do it, it would be a great opportunity to put it online and develop a network of people open to opening up their homes, their hearts, and developing, a Phileo Xenia hospitality network across the United States. And folks, it's happening. It's happening. And in just a moment, I'm going to interview somebody who has opened up a Candle in the Window hospitality network. Believe it or not, it exists. And we're going to talk to these folks in just a moment on Generations. How does a young man prepare for his own household economy? How will our families survive the economic recessions in the years to come? How do we live debt-free in the biggest debtor nation in the world? And where does college fit into the picture for our family? Should I send my daughter to college? Will our sons be ready for home and career by 35 years of age? Will our daughters work for the large corporations, delegate their 2-year-old children to daycare, and raise 1.2 children per family? Will our children's families be more fragmented than our families in this generation? Or is it time to reintegrate the family using a biblical economic model? The 2012 Family Economics Conference will answer these questions and more. Folks, Generations is sponsoring our biggest conference yet at Wheaton College in Chicago, Illinois, on March 8 to 10, 2012. You'll pick up on hundreds of practical ideas at this conference, from keynote sessions, workshops, panels, and vendor resources. If you resonate to this vision, folks, you need to register for the conference now. Save $80 if you register by this Saturday. Go online now to FamilyEconomics2012.com. That's FamilyEconomics2012.com. Back on the Generations Radio broadcast, Kevin Swanson, your host, with you today, and a great concept, something we've been talking about for a number of years on this program, and that is a hospitality network across the United States and even across the world where Christian families open up their homes and engage in, well, Phileo Xenia. And Phileo Xenia is the hospitality word used in Hebrews and other places throughout the New Testament. And it's a word that means the love, Phileo, of Xenia, that is strangers. The love of strangers, extending your hand to strangers. This is actually one of the most important, one of the most basic definitions of what Christians are all about. If Christians are Christians, they're going to be, well, doing Phileo Xenia. We're going to love the stranger. We're going to reach out to strangers and open our homes and our hearts to strangers. And a hospitality network across the United States, a fantastic idea, and it's a brand new idea for those who have just started this. The Bowen family have started this with their A Candle in the Window Hospitality Network. It's acandleinthewindow.com, by the way, on the web. And with me to talk about this is Teresa Bowen. Hey, yes. Welcome to Generations.
Thank you so much. It's a privilege to be with you today.
Yeah, what a great concept, Teresa. I mean, I'm so excited that somebody has opened up this network, and it's a time to do it because we've got the World Wide Web at our fingertips. Anybody can find this.
You know, Kevin, that's exactly what we feel. For years, since even before we got married, God just gave us a deep joy at opening up our home for hospitality. And over the years, we have seen most of the fruit in our ministry has come through our home, just opening up our home and having people in. And we see this as a way to multiply that. Early in our marriage, we just prayed, God, Lord, bring whom you will. And he has done that. So now we want to open that up and pray that for other people. And I'm so glad you started out with just a biblical basis for hospitality because... Yeah. In Romans 12:13, that Phileo Xenia that you use, the word hospitality Andrew Strock has got a great book, mm-hmm. The Hospitality Command, and mm-hmm. he goes into this and talks about when Paul wrote practice hospitality, that word practice says it's actively to promote and mm-hmm. to aspire, to pursue. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not just for some people who like having people over. Mm-hmm. It's for all of us who are believers. Hospitality mm-hmm. was one of the defining marks of the early church, and one that we think has really been lost mm-hmm, mm-hmm. a lot in our really busy 21st century lives. So we want to help change that mm-hmm. through a candle in the window.
Yeah. So now, Teresa, you're not just suggesting this for others. This is a lifestyle that you've taken on over the years yourselves. I mean, how did you gain this vision yourself? Talk to us about what you've done in hospitality over the years.
We would love to. Like I said, even before we were married, God gave us both a desire someday to have an open home. My husband's from a very hospitable family as well. Mm. And early in my prayer, like literally over 20 years ago, we just prayed. I wrote my journal, Lord, bring whom you will. And I can't explain it other than the Lord just gave us that desire. And as I look back in my guest book, Kevin, he has done just that, and I have to just say it was the Lord. We are a very ordinary family, but he has brought people into our home from over half of the states. He's brought missionaries or nationals from our home from like 18 countries.
Wow.
Many of whom we never met until they came through and stayed with us. And how that happened is we just like that word in Proverbs 12:13, we would pursue avenues. We would write to mission boards and say, put us on your hospitality roster if you have people coming through. Or we would let our church know, you know, if you have a speaker or if you have a missionary coming in, we would love to host them. Hmm. And just as you begin to practice hospitality, the more you practice, the more opportunities the Lord leads. And we don't have time to go into all the ways the Lord has blessed us.
Well, describe just for a moment what a blessing it's been for your family, for the children as well. What does it do for your family?
Oh, the multi-generational impact of hospitality. I guess it really hit home, Kevin, for us. When one of my daughters was filling out an application, and one of the questions, this is only about a year or two ago, one of the questions was, list some of the biggest influences on your life. One of the first things she said was growing up with a lot of guests from all over the world. I cannot describe the tremendous impact it's had on our children because they are part of the team. We see our home as a base for ministry.
Yeah.
And we see our children as part of that team. They help us to prepare. We could not do half of what we did without our children. And then they sit at the table afterwards. They enjoy conversation.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
I think one of the best examples of this comes from one of my heroes in faith, Elizabeth Elliot. And in her book, The Shaping of a Christian Family, if you'll let me, I'd love to just share one quote from her father,
Philip
Howard, that I just think is so wonderful. He said this, the presence of Christian friends or even strangers, unless they are eccentric, self-centered, and thoughtless, should brighten the home and enlarge its outlook as the guests tell how the Lord has led them through the trials of life and of the work they are doing for Him. It is a good thing for a family to be jolted out of its routine and to look beyond the four walls of its own home and the weekly routines of its business, school, and church.
Wow.
And then I heard Elizabeth Elliot herself go on to share that no matter what the economic conditions were, her family knew how important it was for their children to meet Christian men and women. Yeah. And I can only say ditto for what it has done in our lives.
You know, Teresa, I think it enlarges both the hearts and the minds of our families. In other words,
definitely.
It enlarges the heart in that they can learn to love people who don't think and act just like them, who are coming from all sorts of cultures and backgrounds and sometimes even languages. I remember one time, I mean, this is a funny little story. A friend of mine called me at 10:30 at night. I'm in my pajamas. I'm ready for bed. He says, there's a pastor from Zambia is in this Colorado Springs airport just wandering around trying to find a place to go to.
And he said, can you go down and pick him up? So I got my clothes on. I went down there. He was all by himself. I said, hey, are you the pastor? And he said, yes. Oh, come on over to my house. And, he was at our house for a week. It was
Is that
amazing.
Not a big blessing? Even now, think back to that week and think, what a God thing.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Suddenly we had this different culture. He talked about all sorts of things. He was plugged into an orphanage. He was working with the government of Zambia. He had newspaper articles from Zambia. He explained about all of his ministries in Zambia. And my children were just rapt listening to him. And it was not just the fact that we're learning so much by these various visitors that come to visit us, but it's also, it opens up their hearts so that life isn't all about me, you know.
Exactly, Kevin. I mean, we have the same heart on this. In fact, we have a blog on our website, and the one of the stories that I uploaded from our family sounds like the mirror story that you experienced from your friend from Zambia. About a pastor from Kenya that stayed with us for a week as well. And I just used that article to encourage people, because when he came and stayed with us, our children were very young. And I just used that article to encourage people, don't wait until your children are older or you think, I'm going to practice hospitality, but I'm going to wait till things are perfect. Mm-hmm. Practice it now. We had a pastor from Kenya come and stay for us for a week. And it was during the season where we were doing a lot of, parenting and training our children and a lot of spilled milk. And, at the end of the week, I thought, oh, my goodness, I hope he enjoyed his week with us. But when he left, he wrote in our guest book, I could have stayed with you forever. And my first response was, in spite of all of the, mayhem of life. And then it's like the Holy Spirit went, no, because of it. He had little children at home that he was missing. Mm-hmm. And just by being ourselves and doing what we normally did, but inviting somebody else in, we were blessed. He was blessed. And our children they still keep up with his ministry today to the destitute Pokot in Kenya. Mm-hmm. So I just could not agree with you more.
Yeah, what a wonderful vision for our households and a vision for the kingdom of God, hopefully even a worldwide vision for the kingdom of God, something
is.
We want to inculcate in our children.
We don't want to limit it just to people who are exactly like us.
Yeah.
I mean, there are brothers and sisters in Christ throughout the world. I think of Martin Luther during his time, that book Table Talk, it was written by guests that came to his table about things that were talked about around the table. Or you think about Francis and Edith Schaeffer. By opening up their home, they impacted a generation of people. So we just pray in our very humble little way that we can open up, multiply what God, the blessing that he's done in our home. At first we thought this was just a vision God had given us. We love opening our home, but it seems like God wants us to do more with that, to multiply that in other people's homes.
The website, friends, is acandleinthewindow.com, and it's a wonderful hospitality network for folks all over the United States and hopefully all over the world as well, as this thing just gets off the ground. And this is pretty new, isn't it, Teresa?
Yeah, we just launched it last month in September.
What's your vision for this?
I would love to see 100,000 families around the world opening up their homes, sharing their culture. I would love to hear back. We have a place on our website where people can send hospitality stories. I would love to hear back from thousands of families of sitting around the table and recounting the faithfulness of God.
And I think this is what Jesus really, really wants, because he said that if you do it to the least of these, those who believe in me, you've done it unto me. And there's hundreds of thousands, if not millions, of these others that believe in Jesus around the world. And loving the strangers that come into our midst is a very important part of what Jesus wants his people doing.
Exactly. I could not agree more.
Yeah.
So, we just want to help facilitate that, and we live in a day that we have the World Wide Web, and Let's use it for good purposes.
But Teresa, what about hotels and restaurants? I mean, we've got hundreds of thousands of these institutionalized approaches to hospitality out there. Why wouldn't a Christian family use the hotels and the restaurants to just say, forget about building these new relationships?
Well, we do. You're right, Kevin. We do have a huge hospitality industry today.
Yeah.
And I think there's definitely a place for it. Everybody mm-hmm. appreciates, you know, a beautiful inn or, you know, a fresh, clean hotel room. Mm-hmm. But I read this one time that John Calvin, even in his day, was lamenting the fact that inns had replaced the church as the base for hospitality.
You're kidding me.
I'm not saying that hotels should go away,
uh-huh.
but what I'm saying is, as the church, I think we need to reclaim hospitality. Hospitality is not Martha Stewart.
Mm-hmm.
Hospitality is not just Southern Living. Hospitality is believers opening up their homes. I love what John Piper says. He says it's opening up your homes to people who wouldn't ordinarily be there.
Wow.
So that's what we're hoping to do. We think that it is, you know, the heart of God.
Mm-hmm.
And while we think there's a place for the hospitality industry, we mm-hmm. also think that what a great thing. Just examples that we've had 2 weeks ago. I have two daughters that were working on a Christian film in Northern Virginia, staying with a family up there. And so I needed to make a trip up to take them something, and this family invited us to come in and stay with them as well.
Wow.
I feel like I have new friends
yeah.
in Virginia. And in fact, they became the charter family for Virginia after
okay.
hearing about our ministry.
Uh-huh.
So
that's fantastic, Teresa. And you know, hospitality, using the hotels and the restaurants, can get rather expensive for Christian families, especially the larger families that really are having a hard time making ends meet in a tough economy anyway.
Yeah, exactly. I'm glad you said that, because even on our website, we said that, you know, with household budgets becoming more and more strained, travel is mm-hmm. going to become more and more of a challenge.
Yeah.
And A Candle in the Window seeks to provide a creative, economical alternative. But even with that said, even though I think we're going to help families to save money, help families to take trips
mm-hmm.
that they might not otherwise be able to take, we still believe that even the greater blessing, even in a struggling economy, is going to be through hearing of God's faithfulness recounted.
And you mentioned off air that there are conferences and conventions around where, you know, these organizations like Christian Home Educators of Colorado and some of the other organizations I work with try to bring the price for the conference as far down as possible. They still got to rent the facilities and all of that. But they're charging a family, you know, $70, $80, sometimes $100 to bring their family down to a conference. But if you add hotel and restaurant food onto that, suddenly you're up to $600 over the
exactly.
$69 registration fee.
And it eliminates a whole spectrum of families who
yeah.
perhaps would be able to take in a conference or a trip or even, you know, a trip to see family if they didn't have to factor in $100 a night, $150 a night, or with a large family, multiple hotel rooms. So, yeah, we're hoping to, you know, not only provide wonderful opportunities for hospitality, but to enable people to do things they might not otherwise be able to do.
And you're right, these big families need 2 to 3 hotel rooms when the fire code is limiting the room to 3 to 4 people per
exactly.
room.
We've been there.
A hard time getting them all in without somebody noticing. You know?
Yeah, there's been times, Kevin, I have prayed myself, Lord, please open up a place
yeah.
for us to stay. Last
yeah.
summer, we had a good friend who is a seminary professor who was my husband's seminary roommate. Our girls are good friends, and he was going to be studying over at Cambridge. And so they said, why don't you and Lauren come over for your graduation gift to her? So we did. We said, well, okay, we'll do that. There's a house to stay at Cambridge. And so I started thinking, we're never going to get to London again. It would be so wonderful if we could just spend a couple of days in London. But I went online, I started looking at the cost of hotels in London, and it put that out of reach for us. And I thought, you know what, I'm just going to say a prayer. I went online, probably I wasn't online 10 minutes, found a Christian website, sent one email explaining we're a Christian family, we're going to be in England during these dates. If there's anybody within your group who would like to open up their home, we would love to do this with the same in America. Mm-hmm. Almost immediately, I got an email from a beautiful Christian family that we ended up visiting who has become dear friends.
Yeah. And by the way, I
that
have
that would have never happened. You know, yeah. Most people are not going to be
right.
so bold as me
right.
to do something like that. So we're trying to facilitate it and make it a little easier by having a candle in the window. But
yeah.
We've experienced the joy of not only having people in our home, but also having participated in the hospitality of others. And, you know, our cultures are different, but in Christ, we're in the same body. And there's just a bond in Christ that goes beyond culture, goes beyond language, and we're happy about that.
Yeah. And by the way, I know families in London. My sister's in London. She's opened up her house probably 10 or 15 times for many of our friends over the years. But also my daughters were in London visiting her. They wanted to visit Scotland. We knew somebody who knew somebody who knew somebody in Scotland, a beautiful elderly lady who lived by herself out near Edinburgh. And my wife called her and, you know, we had a relationship we sort of built on the phone. And my daughters had a wonderful time visiting Scotland with this dear old lady, you know, this Christian lady, this very devout Christian lady in Edinburgh. But I really believe this is probably the best idea I have heard all year. Friends, this acandleinthewindow.com has got to be the best idea that we have come up with on this program all year. And you need to check out the website right now. Every listener, everybody who listens to this radio program on a regular basis needs to go to this website. Okay, at least go to the website and check out this phenomenal idea. It is acandleinthewindow.com. Teresa, just for a moment, tell us how it works. You know, how does it work? Do we get references? Do we sign up? Is there a fee? Give us some of the details.
Yes, I would be happy to do that. Well, first of all, you go to the website, www.candleinthewindow.com. And what we do is before you would consider joining, we just ask you to explore a little bit. You can hit locations and see a map of where our members are. Remember, we just started out, so we're just starting to build that base. Read some of the articles. Everything on there is available, open to the public, except the private directory, and that's where our members are listed. And if you would like to join A Candle in the Window, it's if you're the first member in your state or foreign country, we invite you to be free. And also, if you are a missionary, we would love to invite you to have a free lifetime membership. And that's just a little token of thanking those individuals that we believe are true heroes, but equally, it gives an opportunity for them to be in the homes of other people and for us to learn and be blessed by them. For others, our membership is $30 a year. That is way less than half of a hotel room for a night. $50 for 2 years. Once you join, you have access to the private directory, and that's our list of members. And let's say you want to visit Denver, Colorado. You look on there and you see if there's a member from Denver. At the top of that profile, you would read through the profile that tells a little bit more about that family. You would send them a message through our site, and you would begin to dialogue with that family. And there's also a place on our site, we ask all of our members to get a reference letter that we can keep on file from a church leader, a pastor that knows them well. There's also a place that after a family visits with another family, you can leave feedback. But everything would be done through the site. Your name, your last name, your address is never listed. That would only become from a member sharing that information with someone after they have contacted each other through the site. But we're hoping that many people take advantage of it and that the functionality is set up. It's just ready to start being used. We have about 40 members already, and we just see this as the season of getting the word out. We
That's
ask
right.
people to show grace as we're starting because there's not as many members, but we really believe that before long we're going to be a really thriving worldwide network.
Teresa, this is a phenomenal idea, and I don't think there should be any reason why you shouldn't have thousands of members within a year or two. I truly believe the time is right for this, and there are families all over America. I mean, I know a lot of families. I know hundreds of families that would want to sign up for this right away. It is a candleinthewindow.com, friends. Go there right now. Check it out. Read it over, as Teresa said, and register. Register as the first member in your state, or register for a couple of years at a time. It's a candleinthewindow.com. Teresa, we're out of time, but we want to continue to update ourselves as to what's going on with the ministry. Keep up the good work.
Oh, thank you so much, Kevin. I'm sure this is going to help people find out, and we would encourage people to go to the website, and then we would encourage them to share with their friends. So thank you so much.
And ladies and gentlemen, you have been listening to the Generations Radio broadcast as we come up with unique ideas and hopefully wonderful practical concepts whereby we can restore truth and relationships to a lost and lonely world, which is the mission of the Generations Radio broadcast. This is Kevin Swanson inviting you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.